More offensive than Mandingo. More shocking than Behind the Green Door. More erotic than Deep Throat.
Hi, this is Irv Katz, and welcome to Dial a Dork, the Cleveland radio home for nerds, geeks, and dorks. For the next hour, we'll take your calls about your crashed computer, your hung-up software, your level 17 paladin, or whatever geek-worthy topic you have in mind. Call us at 216-578-1300 and let the Dial a Dork community assist you. And now, here's your Cleveland dorks.
I just wanted to say that now I'm a nerd.
Y'all ready for this? Welcome to another edition of Dial a Dork, your Cleveland home for all dorks, nerds, geeks, etc. What have you?
Troglodytes.
Anyway, let's jump right into the show here. Let me introduce my cast of characters with us today. We have Matthew.
Hello.
A.K.A. Dork Almighty.
The Dork Patty.
I don't know
what. Scrumptious.
I don't know what. Wow. Russ, say hi to everyone.
Hola.
Okay, we got Ty. Right. Ty in the box.
Yo, I just want to give a shout out to my homies in Highland Park, Illinois, including Nick and Dan of Bitter Jester Entertainment. You better be listening.
I just checked the Icecast stats. They're not.
Nick but and Dan, I hate you.
Okay, well, maybe they'll tune in later. In the booth, we are pleased once again to be joined by Yoko, the architect, taking care of business. We've got Dewey, the answer man, here live on site. Which is actually kind of a problem because now he can't use Google, so we are kind of flying without a safety net here right now. And we've got Jeremy on the board as usual. So we are looking good. We got a full house. Let's pay some bills, shall we? Actually, the only bill we really have to pay is the bill that we have to pay for the show, which requires your money to help us. If you want to advertise on this show, if you want to sponsor the show, or if you'd like to purchase gear, you can do all that stuff. Go to www.dialadork.com. That's hyphenated, dial-a-dork.com. You can buy gear off of Cafe Press.
What's the phone number?
You can call the show tonight, 216-578-1300. You can email us here at the show, and we can read your emails here in the studio at dorks@dialadork.com, dial-a-dork.com. And actually, everybody who's listening out there, if you are sitting in front of a computer that is internet-enabled, we would really, really appreciate it if you would go to the Dial a Dork homepage at www.dialadork.com. That's hyphenated. And there is, you'll see a nice icon of an ear, and it says I listen. And what we're really trying to do is, because unfortunately this station doesn't subscribe to Arbitron ratings, and it's hard for us to make a compelling pitch to potential advertisers, we have no idea how many people are actually listening. So if you would be so kind, please click on the I listen icon and shoot
doesn't
us
Apple own the rights to that.
Apple
I listen.
It's not like I listen, like I listen. It's actually two words.
Okay.
And it's like you're declaring that I listen.
All right.
Okay. Exactly. I listen.
You should call it ear listen.
Well,
that'd make more sense.
Yeah. It's kind of redundant, isn't it? You know, like nose listen.
How do you know I don't do that?
Okay, fine. Anyway, okay, Ty's a superhero.
I can smell you from over here.
Okay. Well, that may be true. We did go to the Chinese restaurant and I ate a crab. So I probably do smell. We also, so please go to the website, click on the I listen buttons, and it will open up an email for you. The subject and the body is all set. You just have to hit send and everything's good to go. Please help us. Let us know how big our audience is right now. It's either going to help us a lot or it's going to depress the crap out of us. Either way, we need that info. Also, tonight we are going to do a giveaway. And we won't start the contest until after the first break, but we are giving away a pair of Indians tickets. That's Cleveland Indians tickets. They are section 130,
good seats.
Row J, seats 5 and 6. So that's
only
about
the best.
Oh, it's about 9 or 10 rows from the field in the lower box. And you're about halfway. I'd say halfway between first base and the foul pole on the first base line. And these tickets are for Friday night, so that's also kind of key. There probably is going to be some kind of fun thing going on, too, that Friday night.
And these are the Cleveland Indians that aren't as bad as they were in previous years. Not necessarily. We don't know for sure yet, but
well,
they could be better.
The thing about the Indians so far is that the pitching has been quite good. The offense has been, like, asleep. They are not hitting the ball at all. Aaron Boone's hitting about 100.
Dismal.
It's pretty bad.
But on Friday, they're all going to knock
it out of
the park.
But here's how the contest is going to work. We're going to open the phones up for the contest after the first break, and we're going to play Stump the Band kind of a thing. Stump the Nerds, Stump the Dorks.
Stump the Chump.
Stump the Chump. basically, you got to call us and ask us a question, and if we can't answer it, you win the tickets. So, and these, you know, it would be like, you know, better if it were like a technology question, but, you know, you could call us up and say, you know, like, what's my mom's middle name? And I guess technically we probably couldn't answer that.
Are we allowed to use Google?
We are allowed to use Google as long as
mom's middle names are in Google.
We just hem and haw
your
for a little while.
Is.
But anyway, give us a call now with your computer troubleshooting issue, and we will try to help you. But as promised last week, we're going to talk a little bit about a very, 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 very important technology to the corporate user and the home user alike. We're going to talk about firewalls. As requested by one of our big-time fans, PJ, who's been listening and emailing us and been an all-around good egg, and he was curious if we could talk a little bit about firewalls, so I think we should.
Does anybody know the origin of the term firewall outside of the computing world?
I have to imagine there's a couple different ones. I think in buildings, there's firewalls.
I think you're about to win the tickets.
He can't win the tickets.
Oh, right.
Oh, it's definitely a building thing, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's from theater. You should Google me on this, but or Google it for me, rather.
Hands check.
Never Google me. Excuse me. But I think it's a term from theater where it used to be a fire hazard with all those crazy lights, and they wanted to make sure that it wouldn't spread into the audience or vice versa. And I think that's what a firewall was. I'm talking from memory here, and I don't know anything about theater. So we should check that out.
In buildings, they have them just so the Chicago fires don't happen all the
time.
That's
right. And you can trust Ty on this because he actually has spent many, many years in the theater. And
I'm that guy in the backseat that drops gum on the floor. That's me.
That's right. That's right. Ty is he's a Shakespearean. Were you a Shakespeare major at Case there?
He's a thespian.
He's a thespian. Okay, but in terms of computers and networks, a network firewall ultimately is something that it's a device or a program that blocks traffic coming in and permits traffic going out.
No, necessarily.
It does the other too.
Can do either way. Egress filtering as well.
Exactly.
So, like, I'm wrong already.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Record time.
okay.
We really should keep track of the times that he's wrong.
Actually, I studied Marlowe in case.
Yeah. Ding! Yeah. Shut up, man. Marlowe, you did not.
I read a lot of Ben Johnson.
Oh, yeah, right. You're talking about the Canadian guy on steroids?
That's right.
Okay. One of the things, I know you guys asked me not to read, but I really do like this sentence. Or a paragraph from a firewall FAQ that I found, and that is, the internet, like any other society, is plagued with the kind of jerks who enjoy the electronic equivalent of writing on other people's walls with spray paint, tearing their mailboxes off, or just sitting in the street blowing their car horns.
Or defacing their radio airspace.
Exactly. And basically, the firewall's purpose is to keep the jerks out of your network while still letting you get your job done. Can we agree on that?
As with all security, it will hamper you from getting your job done, too.
I use firewalls to allow me to continue to not get my job done because I don't have a job.
Terrific.
Whoa.
That's fantastic.
I waste time more efficiently when I can do it in my own fashion.
Let's talk a little bit about, you know, what you use a firewall for, and you don't typically use a firewall to protect yourself against viruses or spyware or anything like that.
It's an access thing, generally.
Exactly.
Speaking.
It's to prevent unauthorized access to your network. It's not viruses and spyware and things like that are going to come through the firewall, because typically you're going to allow mail and internet traffic to go through, and that's where most viruses are delivered. So
usually you connect your computer to the internet so that you can get things off of it and use it for your own purposes.
Right.
But by the same token, it's a bidirectional connection. So you're on the internet for everybody else just as much as they are for you.
I think my network's bi.
Well, that's up to you. What did Froggy say? My name's Paul, and that's between y'all.
That's right. That's okay. Dewey, you're absolutely correct. Is it hardware or is it software? It's either.
Well,
it's both.
Well, it's
all at the same time.
If you're even talking about a software, you're generally talking about a personal firewall
hardware,
on a machine.
Right. The hardware has software in it. But what we're really talking about is you can run a firewall on your computer, such as Windows XP Service Pack 2 has
Zone Alarm, a free alternative.
Zone Alarm is a free firewall. I think there's one called Tiny Firewall.
Black Ice Defender.
Black Ice Defender.
Anything you put between your computer and the rest of the network is a firewall, no matter how it does it,
right,
for the most part, except when it's not.
All right.
That sounded great.
That was really well put. Russ, you look like you want to say something.
No, I just think we need to kind of set up what a firewall is. I mean, not just functionally, but I mean, it operates on what the network folks call a packet level generally, and sometimes a connection level. But it's monitoring those little electrons that are flowing on the wire. Whereas some things that keep you safe, like we mentioned earlier, virusware and spyware and things like that, they operate on a more application level. They look into the data and see if that's harmful data. These just cut off data from certain places.
That's right.
But certain types.
Russ is talking about layers, and if you were to look at what happens on a computer between your keyboard and the network and the internet.
I'm talking about the 7-layer Taco Bell burrito.
OSI
burrito.
I wish I had a firewall that would keep me from eating those, because
then you turn into a firewall.
Well.
Fire plug.
Fire in the hole.
I can't believe we're allowed on the radio.
Fire.
Hey, look, we paid for this airtime, and so we can pretty much do whatever we want.
No, we should do now. We should look over and see if we lost Yoko in this whole discussion.
Oh, she's long gone.
Yeah, we're rambling.
Yeah, she's yawning like crazy. Here's the thing.
What happens if you don't have a firewall?
Well, what happens if you don't have a firewall is that if you have, especially if you have a constant connection to the internet, like through DSL or a cable modem or, say, like a T1 or something like that, you are exposed to the rest of the internet, and there are people out there who can run programs that kind of poke around the internet looking for exposed ports to try to exploit.
I think the latest stat I saw was 15 seconds to the time in which either a virus or a script kiddie would... running a program would be able to get into your system.
Yeah. So there you go.
So if you have DSL or probably more normally cable modem at home and you just plug in your machine, you are incredibly vulnerable. There's nothing between you and the world.
Right. And now, as we said before, there are two general kinds of firewalls. There are the software kind, as we mentioned, like Zone Alarm or the one that comes with Windows XP Service Pack 2. There are also hardware units you can buy that sit on your network between the internet connection and the rest of your network. So you might have like a DSL modem, and then you might have a hardware firewall box, and then you have your router or something like that.
And some of them are built in. You might have your cable modem, and then the wireless access point may be a router firewall altogether.
If you've heard of the term NAT, NAT, Network Address Translation, if you have a device that provides that and your computer is behind it, then you can be pretty sure that you're safe, that there's nothing any other computer on the internet can do to yours, because it changes your computer's IP address in such a way that nobody else can even talk to it.
On non-specified ports.
Right, unless you specifically make it so that it works.
Right. That's right.
And then that's the cheapest, easiest way, and most people wouldn't even really in the industry call that really a firewall, but to me, when you're a home user, get NAT and you're all right.
Well, basically any of the commonly available routers, like the wireless routers and things like that, the Linksys and the Netgear and the blah, blah, blah.
They pretty much all
have firewalls and do NAT by default, right out of the box. And for the most part, you're pretty safe. You're still vulnerable to things like viruses and spyware and stuff like that. But in terms of intrusion, you're probably safe unless you open up some ports and to something,
Well, those things are cheap too. They're like $30 or $40.
They're coming way down. No, they're not doing wireless.
You're fine.
I got one off of eBay for $20, brand new Belkin, right out of the box, shrink wrapped.
$20.
$20.
Wow.
Sold American.
Sold. All right. There
exactly.
we go.
We've got an email. Ellen, my God. Ellen from Elyria says, I want a firewall to protect my children from filthy cartoons and rap music. Where can I get one?
I know one when I see one.
Well, I don't know if a firewall is exactly what you're looking for. You're probably looking for some software called like NetNanny. And things comparable to that.
Well, once again, you've got multiple options. Some of the firewalls out there will do certain content filtering. It's not sophisticated. It isn't smart. It doesn't learn. However, you can put in certain keywords that it will scan web browser-based traffic for the source URL and block you from getting it. You'll get a little message on your web browser that says, "We're sorry. But this site is, disallowed," and you might set it up to scan for stuff like sex or drugs or rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
And then late at night, you know what to look at.
And then you turn it off.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I just wanted to also mention that, some of the pros and cons of, the software firewalls work quite well. However, they're I think that if you have more than one computer using a single internet connection, you're going to want to get a hardware unit to kind of protect all the machines at once instead of having a firewall on each and every one. Although, if you're running like a couple of desktops at home and a laptop, and you tend to take that laptop out onto other networks, then I would run a firewall on the laptop also at all times just for safekeeping so you don't forget to turn one on when you go out into the world.
It doesn't hurt to have a firewall on everything that can have it so that you don't have a network with a crunchy outside and a chewy center. You want it to be crunchy all the way through.
Carmelo's.
And real quick, also, the software firewalls will constantly pepper you with notifications and things. You have to train those, whereas a lot of the out-of-the-box firewalls kind of know what to do for the average user. So that's another thing. But they're pretty customizable, too.
And our other friends who run Macs are not without their own protection, and Linux has got it all kind of built in. So I know we're going to break, but
let's
get out of here.
All right, we're gone.
Boy, I love wrestling.
Then you should play IWA.
What's the IWA?
The Imaginary Wrestling Association. It's the greatest fun since wrestling itself. You create a wrestler, manage his career, and compete against other wrestlers from around the world for championship titles and prizes. The IWA lets you trash talk and do sneak attacks. They even have specialty matches.
Well, that sounds great. How do I get started?
Go to playiwa.com. You could be
the new world champion.
Hi, this is Jack Perkins, host of Biography on A&E, with some good news for my old hometown, Greater Cleveland. Now, every Monday through Friday at 6:55 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., I'll be your host for Biography for Radio here on WERE 1300 AM. Biography for Radio delivers life stories of the people you thought you knew. Hope you'll join us each weekday at 6:55 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. for Biography for Radio here on People Power, WERE 1300 AM, Cleveland.
Hi, I'm nobody in particular, and I'd like to ask you a question. Are you dissatisfied with your current IT service provider? And by that I mean, is your computer guy a jerk? Are you paying $100 an hour, $125 or more for IT service? In other words, is your computer guy ripping you off? Does your computer guy leave more problems than he fixes? Essentially, does he know what the heck he's doing? Call the Comm Group today and get the level of service you desire at the price you deserve, with in-home rates as low as $50 an hour and in-office rates as low as $75. That's KOMM Group at 216-556-0141. That's 216-556-0141 or kommgroup.com. Don't be scared. Call the Comm Group.
Claude Markham on working in the United States Navy.
I'm an aviation ordnanceman, second class. It's an indescribable feeling being up on the flight deck and just being next to them pulling the pin from the weapon launcher before they take off. It's a big rush inside, and not many people my age can do the job that I do out in the outside at such a young age.
Most jobs reveal what you do. Hours reveal who you are. To learn more, check out Navy.com or call 1-800-USA-NAVY. Navy, accelerate your life.
Check it out, Cleveland. WERE has got sports all wrapped up. That's right. Tune in to Sports Wrap 1300 every night at 11 here on WERE. It's a hip, fast-paced, in-depth look at the sports world from local to national, amateur to professional. We've got something to say about everything, and I'm sure you do too. We'll put it down live on the air Monday through Friday, 11 to midnight, with exciting interviews, up-to-the-minute sports reports, and our radio roundtable keeps the ball bouncing. To join in, tune in weeknights at 11 and call 216-578-1300, Sports Wrap 1300.
When you went to Adams, you might have been called a spaz or a dork or a geek.
We know you're not on the phone with a girl, so call us instead at 216-578-1300. And now, back to Dial-A-Dork.
Welcome back, everyone. You can give us a call here, 216-578-1300, or email us at dorks@dialadork.com. That's hyphenated, dial-a-dork.com. And if you please, 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 please go to our website, www.dialadork.com, and click on the I Listen button and send us an email. Let us know that you're listening so we can try to put together some kind of demographics or something. Please, 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 please. Now, we have a contest tonight. We are giving away Indians tickets for this Friday night. Nice lower box of seats, 10 rows from the field. Very nice indeed.
Awesome place to catch foul balls.
Plus, we're playing not bad, and we're playing the Royals, so a good chance for a win. And the first caller to call in and stump us on a question wins a ticket. Now, if you want to cheat and ask us, you know, what year was my dog born, or you know something like that, fine.
Or what is the answer to this question?
that's horrible. Nothing. Okay, nothing.
But I'm not eligible. So.
Nothing Zen or from the Tao or something. Okay, we have an email from Mark in Mentor. Mark in Mentor. Am I safer if I run both Windows Firewall and the hardware one on my router? Well, probably.
Mathematically, statistically, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you probably are, but it's probably a marginal, very marginal increase of safety.
There are two things I would say there. Amitai's referenced earlier about the crunchy center and the soft center.
I'm hungry.
Your firewall makes a big wall between you and the outside world, and that... You know, having two of those is not giving you a huge increased level of protection. However, having one on your machine itself can offer you protection from your own machines on your network. Or, let's say you have a wireless router. Those wireless signals, as we've mentioned before, are very open for cracking and kids in your neighborhood and people driving by getting on your network. So you would also be vulnerable to them. So having a software firewall behind is a good thing.
It also protects you in a different way, more of an abstract way, a meta protection, if you will, that if you forgot to set up the firewall correctly on either one or the other, you have a safety net. So if you didn't necessarily configure them both correctly, you can have a better chance that one of them still catches whatever that was.
That's true. So, you know, and redundancy is always good. There are all sorts of viruses and things out there that can disable firewalls if they know how to do it. Mm-hmm. They can turn off your virus protection and do all kinds of things. So if you have one running on the router, chances are it'll still be going while your software one has been compromised, as they say.
Redundancy is always good.
Redundancy in computer systems is
always good.
Very, very, very important. The more things in a computer that you can have redundant, the better off you'll be. Redundant disks, redundant power supplies. You can have redundant RAID cards.
Redundant show hosts.
redundant dorks.
One of us is going to be voted off at the end of this episode.
All right, we've got a caller, a potential stumper. Hello, Liz, are you there?
Yeah, hi, how you doing?
Fine, how are you?
Good. I had a question for you. It's a sports question.
All right, well, we'll give it a try.
Okay. The question is, Jack Lambert, he was with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I'd like you to answer the question. He basically went to Kent State University. Can you tell me what high school and what city he graduated from?
All right, let me think here for a second. Let me think here. Let me quickly try to Google this.
I wonder if this is a trick question. Like, Jack Lambert did not attend high school.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Jack now, Lambert, he was Pirates, raised by Wolves. Steelers, man.
Okay, good.
He was raised by Wolves.
No. By who?
No. He went to, go ahead. You got it?
Hang on, it's coming up.
We're thinking really hard for this here.
I want those Indian tickets.
Crestwood High in Mantua, Ohio.
You what?
Crestwood High in Mantua, Ohio.
Yeah, you guessed it.
We didn't exactly guess it, Liz. we Googled it on the air, but we'll give you the tickets anyway.
Oh, you're a sweetheart.
If we would have known that off the top of our heads, we'd have told you to get lost. But
I have a question.
We
Liz.
Had to Google it. So
yeah, well, see, he went to my high school.
That's what I wanted
that's
to
what
know.
I figured.
Okay.
Did he? Was he missing his front teeth in high school?
No.
Oh, okay. That must have.
He put the school on the map the last couple of years when he got in there.
Was he a two-way player? Like he play offense also?
Yeah.
He was bi-directional.
And then his brother got into the football too.
Was he a hard hitter in high school as well?
What?
Was he a hard hitter in high school as well?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But he was real shy, though. He was real shy and, very collegiate and didn't really bother anybody, kept himself.
Were you guys in school at the same time?
He was a year younger than me.
Did you take him to the prom?
No. No, what my father said, he said guys like him should be playing and not the little puny guys sitting on the bench making out with the chick.
You wouldn't happen to have any like computer-related issues you'd like to talk about, would you?
No, I don't.
Could you go and break your computer real quick and then let us fix it for you?
Let's be happy. Sure.
No,
her computer
have.
Works well.
That's right. Your computer works well. You're one of the few, the yeah. proud.
And the internet helped us answer the question. It was a glorious moment of technology.
That's oh, true. Well, look, Liz, thank you very, very much. Enjoy the tickets, and be sure to hold on.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. Yoko is not an expert at working the board, so if she hangs up on you, call right back.
Okay.
But she's going to get your...
We're not experts either.
Don't make those obscene gestures at me, Yoko. All right, the thing is, you got to hang on, and she'll get your name and your address and all that stuff, and I'll mail those things out tomorrow.
Okay. Or I could pick them up.
You don't want to see the condition of my house.
Oh.
Dial a maid, please.
Dial a maid, exactly. No, we'll mail them to you. Where do you live?
I live in Cleveland.
Oh, okay. So you'll get them on Wednesday, probably.
Oh, really? Oh, well, yeah, but I would prefer to pick them up at the station.
Oh, at the state? Well, I didn't bring them with me. They're at my house.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I'll mail. Is that okay if I mail them to you?
Maybe. Well, I hope I get them by Friday because our mail, it seems like it takes forever.
Let her work it out with Yoko the Arc.
Well, if you live in Cleveland, where, what neighborhood are you in?
You know what? Let her work it out with Yoko because we don't want her to tell her personal information
on the
air.
How she's going
to
get these tickets.
All right, Liz, just talk to Yoko and we'll try to figure something out. Maybe I can leave him at a will call at a stadium or something like that.
Okay, sure. That's
all right,
great.
Well, talk to Yoko. We'll figure it out. But make sure she gets your name and all your stuff.
Okay.
All right. Wow, well, she got us good on the Jack Lambert question.
What do you mean we nailed that? How could they not expect
it? It was right on the tip
Google.
Of my tongue for 3.5 minutes.
We don't have to know it. We don't know anything.
Well, I mean, I think the idea
we just
was...
jack into the net here.
I got a question. Can you name all the mayors of the francophone town of Roquemaure, Quebec? This was a question that I got in a trivia contest once.
Did you answer it correctly?
There were no mayors.
It's impossible to find.
Well, do you know the answer now?
No, it's impossible to find.
How do you spell
the
that Rococo name?
Well,
the
let's,
city of Roquefort?
No, it's R-O-Q-U-E-M-A-U-R-E.
So, seeing as how this is just completely falling apart here, topic-wise, what should we talk about now? Let's talk about your new gadget there, Ty.
I got a new gadget. It keeps me on topic. It's a palm and a phone in one device. It's called the Trio 650. And you can get a Singular branded or a Sprint or I think a Verizon. I got the Singular because it's a GSM phone, which means in theory I can use it in Europe, which is where I will be just over a week from today.
And if anyone's ever seen it's a PDA with a full QWERTY keyboard and a, what is that, 65,000 color screen?
Something like that. I wouldn't say a full QWERTY keyboard. It's very much a miniature QWERTY keyboard.
Okay, but it's in the QWERTY layout. It has, you know, each letter has its own individual button.
Can you Dvorak map that?
I'm not one of those people. I'm sorry.
Well, what else can it do? I mean, it's a phone and a PDA. I mean, that's
pretty
sweet.
It's got the Bluetooth.
It's got the Bluetooth.
It's got Bluetooth. It's got infrared. You can. It comes with an email client and a web browser. You can put an SSH client on there if you're a dork like me. I did. It works. It's great. In fact, it makes sense on this kind of a Palm PDA compared to one that you have to write into, because you can actually type your password and type commands, which is a lot easier than trying to graffiti LS into a shell. It makes a lot more sense. One of the places where it really shines is the address book. Normally on a PDA, you have an address book, a cell phone, you have an address book, and you got to figure out how to keep them in sync with each other or with your computer copy of it. And then maybe you set up your cell phone so that it can communicate with your phone and make a dial out of the PDA's address book. In this case, it's just one address book. And you look at it, and you hit the talk button, and then it calls. And if you want to change it, you can use your stylus, you can use the keypad. It's a PDA and a phone, and there's only one address book instead of 2.5. It's great.
Awesome. What would it cost the average person to acquire such a device?
If you wanted to buy one that was unaffiliated with any service provider, it's $700. If you're willing to take...
Nobody does that.
No, nobody does that, except maybe one or two people. But what really happens that most people do is Singular and Sprint and whoever else teams up with Palm that makes the device to bundle in a service contract. And if you're willing to take a service contract, a two-year service contract in this case...
Because it's not like you're running your own cell tower.
I sure ain't.
Well, yeah, why would you... Well, okay, so if you get the contract, it's dramatically reduced price.
Right. This one was $450, and Amazon had a $150 rebate going. So it's much, much, much cheaper.
And how much is... I mean, do you have to pay extra to do things like email and surfing and all that kind of stuff?
It's a regular data plan that whatever your provider would provides. Redundancy is always good. And so if you wanted to get a data service such as Russ is using right now, that's on top of your regular cell phone plan. One thing you can do with this, and I think that's true of other Palm PDAs with Bluetooth as well, if you have a computer with Bluetooth that is in the vicinity and is paired with your device and is on the internet, your Palm can use the computer's internet connection wirelessly.
It routes.
Right. So I practiced using my email client and my web browser over Bluetooth with my PowerBook that was on the internet.
Can you sync your address book over Bluetooth as well?
Of course you can.
Wonderful.
You can sync anything that you want to over Bluetooth.
And what's the range on
Bluetooth? The only limit is your imagination.
Oh, my God.
What's the range?
It's supposed to be 30 feet, 10 meters.
Up to a mile now. I saw a headline today.
Bluetooth 1.2 or whatever that was.
A mile?
Yeah.
A mile? Bluetooth?
You probably need directional antennas or something.
Good
That's
Lord.
A real flinty
it's
Bluetooth.
It's not really the point of Bluetooth to do
does
that.
This thing have any virus protection on it? Because I know there's some of those like little Bluetooth viruses going around.
You're getting infected with Paris Hilton's phone book.
I'm already one of them.
Oh.
No, I don't have any virus protection on it. I mainly just turn off Bluetooth when I'm not specifically using it. Another gadget that I have that I haven't whipped out here yet is a Bluetooth headset. So it's wireless.
Nice.
And it clips right onto the ear.
Cool.
It's actually kind of geeky. It's called the Blue Trek, and it looks kind of like one of those Star Trek communicators.
Anything with the word Trek in it is...
Bad news.
Bound to be a little geeky.
At least
but
it's not
it's
a red shirt.
It's pretty cool looking. It's real tiny. It clips into the ear, and you can, in theory, I haven't figured this out yet, in theory, you could tell the PDA of the phone that when you say, "Get Irving Katz on the phone, pronto," that it would look up your number in my contact list and call it. I haven't figured out how to get that to work. I'd love to be able to say, "Get me Brazil," and have it just automatically do something.
And
it'll get you a nasty.
Then Netflix
wax.
Sends you the movie immediately.
Annex me a small country.
Looks like you also have a little accessory there with it, a nice like kind of case.
Yeah.
Is that extra or did that come with it?
It's extra. I got the dropsies, so I got a good hard case for it. It leaves the camera exposed and the speaker exposed. And
well,
the
you didn't
exposed.
Tell us it had a camera.
It's not that great. It's only 640 by 480. I have a real camera for that kind of stuff.
Can it do video?
It can do video.
How big is like the storage on that sucker?
I have a 512 megabyte secure digital card in it. I think it's 128 built in.
Huh.
That's a hell of a thing.
We could keep talking, but we got break.
All right, well, we'll break and we'll come back and...
Hey, if you have gadgets or computer questions, 578-1300.
You got it. We'll be right back.
Boy, I love wrestling.
Then you should play IWA.
What's the IWA?
The Imaginary Wrestling Association. It's the greatest fun since wrestling itself. You create a wrestler, manage his career, and compete against other wrestlers from around the world for championship titles and prizes. The IWA lets you trash talk and do sneak attacks. They even have specialty matches.
Well, that sounds great. How do I get started?
Go to playiwa.com. You could be
the new world champion.
You're invited to the Irish Summerfest, June 16th through the 19th at Euclid Memorial Park in Euclid, Ohio. The Irish Summerfest features exciting groups and entertainment for all ages, such as Phantom of the Opera star Kieran Sheehan, Off Kilter, The Fenian, The McMurrows, The Peelers, Tommy Flynn, Annette Griffin, and The Town Pants. New groups like Circe, The Clumsy Lovers, North Sea Gas from Scotland, and Patrick O'Sullivan. Local groups like The New Barleycorn, Mossy Moran, Irish Dance School Performances, and Bagpipe Bands. A children's stage with crafts, magic shows, puppet shows, and Jungle Terry's Animal World, an Irish mall, coffee shop, and plenty of food and beverages. Take I-90 to the East 222nd or Babbitt Road exit and go north to the festival grounds. Parking is free and everything is undercover. General admission is $8, but pre-sale tickets are available at area Irish import stores. For more information, call 440-942-0938 or visit www.irishsummerfest.org. Save the dates, June 16th through the 19th. The Irish Summerfest, where there's something for everyone.
Hi, I'm nobody in particular, and I'd like to ask you a question. Are you dissatisfied with your current IT service provider? And by that I mean, is your computer guy a jerk? Are you paying $100 an hour, $125 or more for IT service? In other words, is your computer guy ripping you off? Does your computer guy leave more problems than he fixes? Essentially, does he know what the heck he's doing? Call the Comm Group today and get the level of service you desire at the price you deserve. With in-home rates as low as $50 an hour and in-office rates as low as $75. That's KOMM Group at 216-556-0141. That's 216-556-0141 or kommgroup.com. Don't be scared. Call the Comm Group.
I feel like we've always known each other.
Me too. And we just met online.
I know. And we both love soccer.
And we both hate math.
Hate it.
So listen, why do we meet?
Maybe at the mall. Saturday afternoon? Do a little shopping, a little chilling, you know, all kinds of neat stuff. I'll bring along some new CDs, and let's wear all pink and put our hair in a ponytail so we recognize each other.
Great.
It'll be our little secret.
McGruff, the crime dog here. When your kids chat online, they have no idea who they're talking to. Warn them that predators surf the internet looking for young victims. Be your kid's safety net on the internet. Tell them to get your permission before entering a chat room or giving out any information. Tell them to never meet anyone without taking you along. For more tips, visit McGruff.org.
An important announcement from the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, and the National Crime Prevention Council.
Why do you think you're a dork? I don't think you're a dork.
We know you're not on the phone with a girl, so call us instead at 216-578-1300. And now, back to Dial-A-Dork.
Indeed, back to Dial-A-Dork. Give us a call, 216-578-1300, or email us at dorks@dialadork.com. That's hyphenated, dial-a-dork.com. And go to our website, dialadork.com. Click on the I Listen button and send us an email. And let us know that you're out there and you're with us 100%. We got an email.
Even if you're only with us like 80%, you could go.
Well, yeah, I mean,
as long as you're not against us, really.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it. All right. Willie from Willowick wants to know, are there any software firewalls for Linux?
What do you mean software firewalls? You don't need a software firewall. It's built in to the Linux kernel, IP
tables. I mean,
it tables.
Is software in some sense, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The latest
but it's,
Linux
it's,
kernel
it's,
includes a thing called IP tables. The previous one had one called IP chains.
Yeah.
Totally different configuration and how they work, but...
Are they going to stick with IP tables this time?
It seems
they
like
change
it's designed for the future.
Yeah, I agree, too.
What does the future look like?
It's all... You see the Matrix? It's like that.
Whoa.
How many monitors do you need?
A lot.
What about the Mac? I mean, does the Mac have a firewall built into it?
The Mac comes with IPFW, which is the same one found in FreeBSD, although FreeBSD now has a few. But there's also a graphical configurator for it in OS X Server, and I think Tiger will have next version of Mac OS X for the client. We'll have a graphical configurator for it as well.
Sweet.
In fact, Panther already does. What's Tiger's this? Will be better.
Yeah, what? Tell us a little bit about Tiger. What is that?
It's a big cat.
Yeah.
Orange stripes.
Oh? Oh, I'm thinking of the wrong one.
Maybe we should ask somebody else.
Were you thinking of a leopard?
All right, you know what? Never mind. I don't want to know. Margie,
I'm excessively silly today.
Margie in Mayfield Heights says, sometimes my daughter sends me jokes and emails and I just don't get it. Is my firewall blocking my grandkids' baby pictures?
They're not good jokes. Maybe that's why you don't get them.
You don't get, yeah, I was going to say, maybe you don't get it. Maybe that's your problem, Margie, and not the firewalls. You know, I have to say that the chances are is that your firewall is not blocking emails.
If you have network connectivity, generally speaking, you have your firewall is not in the way.
Well, here's the problem. Like I was working with a client today who uses MSN. All right, strangely enough.
Is that the dial-up you mean?
Well, she actually has a cable modem, but she uses MSN Explorer to get like her email and stuff. Oh, and it's kind of like a Microsoft's AOL-esque kind of a thing. And it was she wasn't able to get EPS files, the art files,
encapsulated PostScript.
That's yes, exactly.
Beautiful.
Yes, yes. And she couldn't get those. It was her email was stripping them out. Typically, your email provider may strip out certain kinds of attachments, and that's why.
Are you sure that was a type of attachment, not a size issue? Because EPSs can be pretty big.
Well, you know what? I believe it was a file extension issue.
Brevity is the soul of wit, so you got to keep the jokes short, and then they won't get blocked.
Yeah, in terms of I don't know why you wouldn't be getting emails from your daughter. It's it's possible that for some reason, whatever, her provider, whoever she's getting her internet from, has been registered at with your provider as a place where spam comes from.
In those cases, that person would get a bounce. In the case that you're not receiving attachments, it's usually on your provider or sometimes even your email client side.
Well, a great way to get past the attachment stripping is using WinZip or PKZip or whatever. Zip up the files and then attach them. Typically things with the extension .zip. Although I've actually taken an executable and just added .zip to the file name and it gets through.
It is just an extension checker in most cases. Yeah. It's not
so,
wasting time to check what kind of file it is.
Well, okay, we have a caller on line one. Greg, are you with us?
I'm there. How you doing, Irv?
All right. How are you, Greg?
I'm doing wonderful, bud.
Okay, well, go ahead.
For you guys, I'm in the market for a new TV. And it's a little off topic. It's not total hacker stuff, but what's better, plasma or LCD?
Did we actually address this at one time?
This is a totally legit question, though, because
totally
geeks have huge opinions about that kind of thing.
I can certainly
LCD 100%.
They're making bigger plasma TVs.
True. Uh-huh.
The plasma TVs, I think, are bigger in terms of diagonal measurement, but I think that there's a history of plasma TVs wearing out a lot faster than the LCD TVs.
Not to mention they weigh a lot more.
Do they?
What's the difference visually? Like, do they render images the same way, or is one of them brighter?
You know, some LCDs are better at some things.
Here.
Okay, Russ, you got it?
Yeah, well, it's coming up.
Okay, I know something, you know, like plasma screens do some things better than LCDs and vice
and we
versa.
We should throw back, if you want to go to the Dial-A-Dork archives ever, we did cover this a bit.
Like 3 weeks ago?
I don't remember the week, and it's not in the write-up, unfortunately.
I'll look for it.
But the point being, let's see. Plasma versus LCD. Advantages of plasma are a larger screen size available, better contrast ratio, and ability to render deeper blacks. Touching that. Better color accuracy and saturation, better motion tracking with little or no motion lag in fast-moving images.
And that's pretty important, especially if you're going to be watching a lot of DVDs and things.
That's plasma over LCD. So it seems like there's some basic picture image and then, of course, the size that are better there. Disadvantages of plasma, they're a little more susceptible to burn-in of static images, so you don't want to just leave it on the stock ticker channel for too long. They generate more heat, and they don't perform as well at higher altitudes. If you're living in Cleveland, not a worry. And they have a shorter display life, on the order of 30,000 hours as opposed to 60,000 for LCD.
Okay.
So it looks like those are the issues. It sounds like plasma will give you a better image, won't last as long.
How old was that article?
Price break is also that's a good question. Price break, I think, would be an important thing that I don't have a good touch.
Yeah, you know,
feel for
I'm,
right now.
I'm I would you know, the chances are that, you know, I think if you go to the store, you will see that the plasma screens, you're getting a lot more screen for the buck.
I'm not sure that's so much true anymore. I haven't been shopping for about a year, but at that point in time, they were not quite as different as you would think. And I would argue that the LCD screens lately have been the response times have been really dropping on in the technology.
Especially, and that takes care of the ghosting issue.
Yeah, that takes care of your ghosting and your motion blur and that kind of thing. Whenever I've gone, price has been one of the bigger, you know, points. The other one is if you can look at two of them side by side, just go with the one that you like better.
And it doesn't harm your wallet as much.
Yeah, if you're really not a professional, most times nowadays you're really not going to see too much of a difference between the two displays.
You know, your best bet might be to go down to the Best Buy or the HH Gregg or whatever, and
Circuit
just see
City.
what's the best deal out there. What, you know, where, you know, what, just get the most screen for your dollar.
If you're gonna get the most screen for your dollar, go to projection TV, widescreen. You know,
well, that's
40,
true.
47 inches for like $1,400 whatever.
I just saw, and this was down in Washington D.C. Mind you, because I was at my mom's house this weekend for Seder.
Yeah.
Sorry, which was just lovely. And I believe it was the Best Buy down there. They had a 72-inch TV. It was a big honking projection unit. So I mean, this is the whole thing. I mean, you just plant this thing on the floor in your living room and just, you know, that's it. It's got the huge speakers and everything. But this thing, 72 inches, was $2,500.
Now that's a deal.
Can you believe that? $2,500 for 72. Oh, that's six.
Was it like four
feet.
Pixels?
No, I mean it was a projection. It wasn't, you know, really pixels at all.
Wow.
So, you know, that's something to consider.
Very good. Well, thanks, guys.
Well, hey, if you get any more info or you score one of those TVs, give us a call and let us know some more.
Yeah, well, if you're going to do some comparison shopping, you know, come back and give us sort of a dork report in terms of which looked better to you and which one you went with.
I can do that.
Well, please do.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, thanks a lot, man.
One other note on that one, you know, when you're out shopping for expensive stuff like this, and by no means is LCD or plasma really cheap, think about really why you're getting the technology you're getting. Like Irv said, man,
your neighbors are jealous.
Well, you know, the Johnsons have got, you know, bigger unit or something like that.
The Johnsons have a bigger unit, ladies and gentlemen. Broadcast history.
But really, I mean, you know, a 47-inch, you know, widescreen projection TV is a really at a nice price point, and for you're gonna pay about the same money for like a 19-inch
so
LCD.
Out,
no way, I totally disagree.
It says here at Best Buy, online only. If you buy a flat panel or projection TV of at least $1,000, you get a free under cabinet LCD TV to go with it. $300 value.
Hooray, wee wow.
I think that's pretty cool, man. You know?
Probably cheaper to just get a caricature artist and have him draw on an easel for you, and then turn the page.
I'm thinking
frame rate is really bad.
Dewey wants to know if dead pixels are still an issue, and I would have to assume that they are.
Well, for LCDs,
most stores will have a dead pixel policy. I think Best Buy's is like 8 or more pixels, and they will just replace the unit for free. Some of the computer monitor places are doing 3 or more. I don't think it's a huge issue. If you are one of the lucky few to experience it, most of the companies will take it back.
Mm-hmm.
Much nice. Less the manufacturer.
Crutchfield
might...
did recommend that if you're not worried about size or weight, like you're saying, there's no need to jump on the bandwagon.
No. I see no point in that.
Yeah, I mean, those projection TVs now are just fantastic.
Looks like we have an email here.
All right, hit it.
This is from Barbara. Hi, Dorks. I bought a used IBM 390E ThinkPad a couple of years ago. I have a DSL with a wireless card for my laptop. Two-wire. Not sure what that means. Is that a brand?
Oh, no, that's a brand.
Okay.
Yeah, I have one.
I was getting a lot of Trojans until I installed the firewall SBC said I shouldn't have to install. Anyway, I had this infrared thing on the side of my laptop, and since I didn't get a book with this laptop, I don't know what it is for. Also, what kind of wireless network card should I buy if I want to try to borrow an internet connection when I'm away from home? And do you need software with that?
All right, wait a minute. Can you back up to the first question she asked?
First question would be, I've got this infrared thing on the side of my laptop. She doesn't have a manual. What's it for? What's it do?
That's for beaming.
It is for beaming.
Well, it's for...
when your computer smiles. It smiles at its infrared port.
No, here's the thing. The infrared port is it's a lot like, you know, it's the older version of Bluetooth.
I mean,
you can actually do actual networking with the infrared
port. The only
difference
is it's line of sight.
It's
the two ports.
It is line of sight. You know, if you had another laptop of a similar, we've had another laptop or some device with an infrared port. You could set the two of them next to each other. The infrared ports, assuming that they're on, will automatically find each other, make a little kind of a
boing
kind of a noise, and let you know that they are seeing each other, and then
very
you can actually
for
network.
Very handy when you're in someone else's office.
Very handy
and now
for printing.
There's infrared devices in Palm and all that.
I have actually successfully printed to an HP LaserJet 5L or something like that using an infrared port on my laptop, and it was real convenient because it was, you know, over in the corner. And
on the other hand, I found that if you're ever in a room full of people with laptops, it's really nice to turn that off because you get boings.
Boing.
Seriously, I actually deactivate. I go into network connections and I just disable that. I don't need those broadcasting. It takes away some power. And it's a network port that's just hanging open there. You never necessarily know
that's
when it's
true.
Going to hook
that's
up.
That's true. But it does work. It really does work. I can even use it for my cell phone to use my cell phone as a modem. I can connect it to my infrared port. It's pretty neat. It was the original wireless networking.
Speaking of wireless networking,
yeah. You had a question about what kind of wireless what?
Hold on
what?
A second.
What?
Well, let's answer her question for real here. She hasn't used it since she's had the laptop. Odds are that she really doesn't need it.
Well, she hasn't used it probably because she hasn't encountered another infrared port in line of sight.
If she has a cell phone, it might have infrared. If you don't have a lot of other electronic gadgets, you might not have
it.
Yeah,
you're probably not going to need
it. Probably, don't worry about it. You're probably never going to use it. I don't think a lot of people ever really used it all that much.
You're not comfortable disabling it from network neighborhood. You put electrical tape over it. That's how you can stop your VCR from blinking, too.
You're just full of ideas.
That's good information.
And as I said, it was
low
the original
tech.
Wireless networking. And
now
segueing into your other question about what kind of wireless network card you should buy, pretty much any wireless network card that is 802.11b or G.
Well, if you're looking to borrow them from other places, B is the way to go, I would say.
Well, but G will work on any B network.
That's true.
You can get cards that are combination A, B, G. And if you can find one of those that isn't too expensive, go for it.
Sure. Yeah, sure. Frankly, just check your weekly circulars, Best Buy, CompUSA, Circuit City, Micro Center, yada, yada,
now,
yada.
She said she had a wireless card that came with her DSL. What did that mean, the two-wire thing? I didn't quite follow
that. I have DSL with a wireless card for my laptop.
Two-wire.
Wait a minute. Well, if she already has a wireless card
wondering.
In her laptop, then you're probably already good to go.
Yeah.
I would suggest though that you use if you can use Windows XP on that laptop, you'll really enjoy its wireless network management software.
Well. If we've misunderstood, give us another email. And
that's right.
More.
That's right. Try us again next week, or shoot us an email offline, and we will try to elaborate further.
Yeah,
try to help you out
absolutely.
With your specifics. Wow! I hear the music already. Can you believe
it? Another fantastic show.
I thought it was pretty cool.
Big pimping.
That's right.
Went by too quick.
Well,
we can stay and BS over at the Union Club.
That's
so.
True. We'll be at the Union Club Tavern, corner of St. Clair and East 26.
For us, the magic doesn't have to end.
That's true. We can continue to discuss all kinds of dorkworthy issues. And Yoko has gently instructed us to stop talking and let the music play and just get the hell out of here. So I think we'll take her advice. Thank you very much for listening. Please go to our website, dialadork.com, and click I Listen. Next week, what? We
next
didn't say we're going to
be on
next
the air
week.
Monday.
More of us.
Yeah. Next week, we'll give something away.
See you later.
Good night, Cleveland.
all those pimps together. It was live.